42, since Christ died for us, why must we also die? Our death is not a satisfaction for our sin. So it's important to understand that. It's appointed unto all men to die once, and then the judgment. We have escaped the judgment through the judgment that was meted out in Jesus Christ. But we're still going to die. This is what God's plan is, that we would then, as the Catechism says, enter into eternal life. We have the beginning of eternal life right now. If you're believing and you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. Properly speaking, you have everlasting life, not eternal life. God alone properly has eternal life. We have a life that'll go on forever, but we're not eternal people. We have a beginning, and even in the kingdom of heaven, we will still be creatures. We will still be finite. We will still be those that we can no longer die, but we'll still be people that are learning and growing and understanding. So just understanding that when we die, for the believer, it's an entering into eternal life. What benefit further do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Catechism says that by His power, our old man is with Him, crucified, slain, and buried. This is who we once were. The old man, the old nature, the old lifestyle, the old habits, the old desires has been slain by the work of Jesus Christ. So it no longer reigns over you. So as a believer, this is how it works out. You can never say, I couldn't help it. I just had to do that. You have the power by the resident Holy Spirit and the new nature by which the Holy Spirit has created you anew in Christ Jesus to say no to the old nature, the old habits, the old disposition, the old desires. And by saying no, you are putting them to death always more and more by following after righteousness. It's not simply a void where you just say no, but you do the positive virtue. That's the calling of the Word of God. This is simply a teaching of Romans 6 right here. We have been slain, crucified, slain, and buried, so that the evil lust of the flesh may no more reign in us. Notice, they no more reign. The lifestyle of the believer, because of the sinful, the walk of life before redemption, we have some bad habits. Smoking is a bad habit. And there are those that smoke, and they know. And many of them have tried to kick the habit, right? As we call it, a bad habit. It takes time. It doesn't happen cold turkey. As a matter of fact, what happens if it does, you know, someone wants to do a cold turkey thing, then what happens, they pick up some other kind of vice. Some other kind of bad habit in their life. It happens progressively. It happens in increments, but it happens. It begins. It progresses. And as you continue to grow in righteousness, as you're growing in holiness, you're putting off the bad habits by following the righteous and habitual things taught in Scripture. Do this. And it seems very simple, but it's so profound. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, those who stole, steal no longer. It doesn't leave it, but labor with your own hands that you might provide for not only your own needs, but also for those who have needs. So notice, those who lie, stop lying, but speak the truth. So how do you put off lying? Speak the truth. How do you stop stealing? Labor with your own hands, provide for your own needs. You see, so putting off the old vices is by putting on the new virtues in Christ Jesus. And again, these old habits are hard. They die hard. And so the smoker walks by places and he smells the smoke. Oh, he's drawn into it. Don't go by those places. There's certain things you just have to avoid. Now, we got a whole system of legalism today. Well, that's legalism to tell, you know, if you got problems with the computer, get rid of it. The problem isn't the computer. The problem is your heart. But if these things are causing you to stumble, get rid of it. And we can't have a legalistic system that says, because the heart is the problem, and if you get rid of the material things, you're giving in to something else that's not the problem. That is a cause for stumbling to you. It might not be for somebody else. But if it is, get rid of it. If your problem was with smoking and smelling smoke, don't go around smokers. If you were once an alcoholic, and you have been redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ, don't frequent bars. Stay away from things that will tempt you to sin. Grow strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We become living sacrifices of thankfulness to Him. And lastly, 44. Notice that in my greatest temptation I may be assured that Christ my Lord, by His inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors. Now, we read over that, and I don't think we contemplate that much. Notice that word there, inexpressible. What does it mean that it's inexpressible? That Christ went through anguish, pains, and terrors to a degree that we can't express it. We have no comprehension of what Christ went through in the garden and then on the cross, suffering the just judgment of God against our sins. Inexpressible simply means you can't express it. And if you can't express it, you can't understand it. The pain and the terror that Christ went through when He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. As He comes up to the white-hot fires of hell, that's inexpressible to us, which as believers, we will never have to understand. Because we'll never have to face this. This is the terror and anguish, pains and terror, that we will never suffer because Christ suffered it in our stead. He suffered in His soul on the cross before and was redeemed and has redeemed me from all the anguish and torment of hell. Praise God for the work of Jesus Christ.